This is a 720 to go podcast from Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
This podcast is sponsored by ADM.
As one of the world's largest agricultural processors, ADM is uniquely positioned to serve the world's growing needs for abundant food and renewable energy. ADM.
When it comes to the business of America's farmland, you need the information from the people who know it best. That's why we bring you AgriCast with Orion Samuelson and Max Armstrong.
Well, thank you very much, Roger, and good morning to all of you again, and welcome to our Saturday morning show. Along with Max Armstrong, I'm Orion Samuelson. I've been around here for a few years, and we'll be talking about our most basic industry, agriculture, here in the United States, and a couple of events, more than that coming up next week. National Agriculture Week starts Sunday and goes for the entire week with the salute to agriculture in our nation's capital on Tuesday, National Agriculture Day. And then next weekend, a couple of events that you might find interesting. First of all, the Sublet Illinois Farm Toy Show. And then the Chicago Farmers Farmland Forum, all on the schedule a week from now. And a little bit later, I'll talk about the growth of an interesting industry here in the state, winemaking. So a lot to talk about, and we'll get to Max and look at Sublet, Illinois here in a couple of minutes when we continue here on the Saturday morning show. We're at 14 minutes past 5 o'clock here on this Saturday morning. The town of Sublet, Illinois, west of Chicago, has a street named Max Armstrong Avenue and another one named Orion Samuelson Street. And next weekend, you may join a lot of people driving on those streets because while Sublet has a population of about 450, Max, that population will grow next Saturday, won't it?
Yep, Orion, the town of Sublet, Illinois, in Lee County, Illinois, gets a lot bigger the weekend of the Farm Toy Show that's coming up next weekend on Saturday and Sunday in the town of Sublet. Don Dingus, grandfather of the show, who started it all many years ago, joins us on the line this morning. Don, what year did it begin for the Sublet Farm Toy Show?
The show actually started in 1983.
And it's only grown since then, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. The first show had one building, and now we're up to nine.
People come from far and wide. I know you get travelers from all over the United States. Talk a little bit about who goes and why they show up there.
Well, we seem to attract toy collectors from throughout the Midwest, and we even have one visitor comes from Canada every year. We've had people from Mexico. We've had people from Europe. We attract a lot of people in a small town.
They're drawn there because of the farm toys. And I guess, you know, I wondered maybe 10 years ago if this fervor for farm toys would fizzle out. What's your assessment of it, and especially as the agriculture economy has gone into this not-so-robust era? Has that hurt the demand for farm toys and the interest in them?
Not really. Seems like everybody has a little money for their hobbies. And farm toys are certainly a hobby when it comes to farm people.
On the weekend of the Farm Toy Show, it isn't just the toys you put in the spotlight. Let's talk about Saturday activities and what folks might see if they come to town on Saturday.
Well, we'll have a large display of antique tractors on the streets. And this year we feature Minneapolis Moline. They're having their national convention here in conjunction with the toy show. So we expect at least 100 Minneapolis tractors, if not more. And we'll have probably another 100 of various other colors. Saturday also, we've got our banquet in the evening. It's a joint banquet between the toy show and the Minneapolis Club. We've got a semi-tractor show on Main Street, just all kinds of activities. And then Sunday it gets bigger.
Let's talk about that Saturday evening banquet. Are reservations necessary, Don, or could someone just come in and buy a ticket that evening? And where is it?
We really encourage reservations to be made in advance. It's held at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Parish Hall. And we'd like to have a count kind of for the caterer. But if you get here, we'll squeeze you in.
How does someone get a ticket? How do they go about making a reservation? Can they still do that? We're a week away yet.
Yeah, they can still call us here at the Farmer State Bank in Sublette.
I'll ask you for the number in a moment before we wrap up here for the Farmer State Bank. Then there's the breakfast Sunday morning, another meal opportunity. Do you need reservations for that?
No, that you don't. Our Sublette firefighters have a pancake and sausage breakfast. Usually attracts up to about 1,200 people. And you can't find a better breakfast than you find there. And that's the main event to help raise funds for our local fire department.
Where will that be? Where will breakfast be, and what will the hours be for that, Don?
The hours are from 7 to 12, and it's over at the Ellis Dingus Center. It's the former school building here in Sublette.
For folks who aren't familiar with where Sublette is, Don, help them zero in on it. And do you have a website for the Farm Toy Show?
We do. It's subletteweb.com.
Subletteweb.com. And guide us there physically. How do we get there by highway?
Well, best is if you're coming to the toy show. Route 39 passes by us fairly close. If you're coming from the north, if you come down 39 and get off at the Pawpaw exit, you're about 12, 13 miles. Or you can get off at the Mendota exit. Or if you're coming from the south, it's best to get off at the Troy Grove exit, which is Route 52. And Route 52 brings you right into town.
U.S. 52 goes right into the town of Sublette. That might help guide folks there a little bit. That makes it a little bit easier. It's hard to miss it if you're coming in on 52, isn't it?
We're not very far from Route 80 or Route 88, about 20 miles either way.
From the interstate, Interstate 80 and 88, and you're real close to I-39. So, yeah, it's not hard to get there at all. Well, I plan to be out there for breakfast on Sunday morning, but I'll be out there for dinner on Saturday night, too. So hold a ticket for me, and I'll have some books along. We'll sign some of the copies of Stories from the Heartland while there on Saturday night, and I'll be there for the first couple of hours of breakfast on Sunday morning.
Well, we look forward to your coming, Max. Do you like that phone number?
Yes, by all means, give it to us before we leave here.
The phone number to get tickets is 815-849-5242.
Repeat it one more time in case someone was running for a pencil or a piece of paper.
815-849-5242.
Excellent, sir. We'll see you next weekend. Take care, Don.
You bet. Thank you so much.
A longtime friend of ours, Orion, and an all-around good guy, Don Dingus, Sublette, Illinois. Let me give you the website one more time, and there's information there on an email address and a telephone number. It's subletteweb.com.
Indeed, Max. We've had a lot of good times out at Sublette, Illinois over the past 34 years of the event. I'll not be there this coming week, but I know you will, and people who want to buy your book and get it signed, Stories from the Heartland, Max will be there. Well, last night we drove Highway 47 from Huntley down to Elburn and then went west to the Aqua Viva Winery and Restaurant. Now, I met that family several years ago when they were winners in the wine competition at the Illinois State Fair. But really, my first visit to the winery and the restaurant, and they have put together a beautiful, beautiful site to enjoy the country and the products of the country. And last night, we want to say thank you to Shay Brandinizio and to Betonio and Kippy Miles, who took care of us. And then, of course, the patriarch, Vito, who spent some time visiting with us last night. If you haven't had the opportunity, it's been interesting to watch the wine industry grow in Illinois. And we had dinner with Lee Strom and his wife Twyla, Lee, who spent 10 years in Washington with the Farm Credit Administration and is now involved in an organization called Farm, F-A-R-M, Farm Illinois, along with the former president of the University of Illinois, Bob Easter. And they're promoting all sorts of agricultural enterprises in the state. And it was a good night. Great food and great wine that they make there at the winery in the Prairie Country of Illinois. So thanks to all the folks at the Aquavina Winery, and give it a chance, particularly when it begins to green up. Because driving down 47 last night, as I looked at those fields that are lying there asleep, I couldn't think, this is a giant just waiting to wake up with the arrival of spring. And in 2 months, you won't see any dirt. You'll see green as the crops begin to grow. So anyway, some other events coming up next week, and we'll talk about that when we continue here on the Saturday Morning Show. It has been an annual event now going back to the 1980s, and the Chicago farmers are still continuing to do the Farm Investors Forum. Little different name than it did back in the 80s, but with us on the line is Jeff Martin. And Jeff, you've been involved in this a long time, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I've been involved probably with the Farmland Forum for probably 12 to 15 years.
But when it started out, it was known as something else because it was happening during a very crucial time for agriculture.
Yes, it was originally named the Farmland Investment Fair. In the early 80s, we had the idea of bringing together farmland buyers or owners who had maybe purchased land and paying 18% interest rates and kind of wanted to get rid of the land or sell it. So we had the idea of bringing investors and producers together, and it worked really well. The producers came to the fair, sold their land to the investors, and then in turn got to continue farming it. Since then, we have evolved into, we've added a lot of educational seminars throughout the day, in addition to the exhibitors and the investors, to help educate people on how to bring a better return to the acre of farmland that they do own or are looking at buying.
And the program content has changed because agriculture has changed. So, first of all, let's go through the time, the date, and the location.
March 19th, which will be a week from today, the fair will be held from 8 to 2:30 p.m. You can register by going to our website, chicagofarmers.org, or calling our office at 312-388-3276. The entry fee will be $50 if you register by Monday, March 14th, and it will be $75 after that. That does include lunch.
And you have extended the $50 price for a week.
Yes, we extended that for a week. We're just trying to encourage people to come. You know, we're having a little different time this year, so the weather's a little bit nicer, and maybe people are a little hesitant at what they may be doing, but we're just trying to encourage them to sign up because it's going to be a very informative day.
Let's talk about some of the subjects, because subject matter has changed. What are some of the sessions people can register for?
We have a lot of different sessions going on and off throughout the day. We have some of our different ones are our rooftop gardening. It's kind of going on in the cities all around the United States. It's a very interesting topic.
Right.
Insurance and risk management. There's a lot of producers now selling products off the farm, sweet corn, tomatoes, things like that, organics. And you really have to know what you're doing insurance-wise because you do have a liability to that. So those are a couple of the new topics that we've added.
And then I noticed Illinois farmland values and lease trends. That could be an interesting one this year.
It's really interesting because, you know, we've seen land going up and up and up, and now we've kind of hit a stopping point with commodity prices. So we're off just a little bit, but Ray Brownfield's going to give an excellent presentation and on what current values are doing and kind of what they think is going to happen into the future. They're falling off a little bit, but the ag ground is still holding pretty strong.
And I see one topic that was part of the program back in the 80s. 1031 land exchanges. Are we still doing that, Jeff?
Yes, we are. It's not a hot as item as it was 10 years ago, but there's two or three 1031 exchanges that have gone on in my area, and it still works out really well if that's a product that fits your exact enterprise of what you're looking for doing.
But then come down to the modern time of 2016, and I see a program item called drones. What's the latest?
Yeah, yes, sir. We're still trying to understand what the regulations are going to be, and we're trying to learn on what this drone can do for our operation on the farm, how it can return and return a profit to us for the investment we have to spend in it. So it's a pretty interesting concept, and we're just learning of what it can actually do for us on the farm.
And one other one I want to mention before we have to leave you, because this one's been going on a while, conventional versus organic farming. Is it a versus thing, or is there room for both?
I really believe there's room for both, and the reason we've put this on is there's still a lot of interest from the consumer in organic, and you really have to know what you're doing organic-wise to be able to produce this crop. And so we kind of want to show people what the differences are between conventional and organic and what has to be done in order to transition to organic.
So we have until March 14th to take advantage of the $50 registration fee. If you do it at the door, it's $75. And you have found what has turned out to be a permanent location for the event, haven't you?
Yes, at the Joliet Junior College Weitendorf Agriculture Education Center. We've been working with Bill Johnson. It's a really good relationship. Works good for the Chicago farmers. It works good for Joliet. It gives them some good publicity. So we have, and it's a great location to get to. It's not on the campus of JJC, so you want to be sure and go to the website to get directions there. But easy location to get to from anywhere in the Midwest.
And you do get people from all over the Midwest. Well, I wish you well, and to me, it's a program that should be conducted annually because the business you're in is changing constantly. So to the Chicago farmers and to you, Jeff, thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Orion.
Jeff Martin of the Chicago Farmers, and once again, you can get more information online at chicagofarmers.org.
1 week from today at Joliet for that event. We hope that a lot of you can make it. Some interesting topics on the program. And this is Orion Samuelson with you on the Saturday Morning Show as we take a look at what's happening around the world in the industry of agriculture and everything that's related to it. A reminder, tonight, if you're in an area that changes time twice a year, tonight, you should get up at 1 o'clock in the morning, really, and then move the clock ahead to 2 o'clock, because that's when the change officially happens. But I guess most of us, before we go to bed, we move the clock forward. I've been editorializing against this clock-changing business for years, but nobody listens. Pick one or the other. Stay on Central Time or Standard Time or go to Daylight Saving. All the silly arguments you hear, I think, about health and about cows milking and all those things don't really apply. Not in this day and age when we travel from one time zone to the other constantly. But it's time for Samuelson Says, sponsored by Wink Products Company. And I'm Orion with a look this week at National Agriculture Day. The folks at Wink Products Company want to help make your life easier with a family of professional strength cleaning products that really work. Wink Rust Stain Remover is the number one liquid rust stain remover in the country. This professional strength formula dissolves those ugly rust stains on white sinks and toilet bowls, as well as color-fast fabrics and carpets. This little brown bottle has been around since 1947, and it's still number one. So to learn where to find quality Wink products, check them out at Wink, W-H-I-N-K, Wink.com. And now, at 21 minutes before 6, Samuelson Says.
Next week is National Agriculture Week, and next Tuesday is National Agriculture Day in our nation's capital, a day-long program of events and activities to salute America's food producers. I'll be there to serve as MC of the Salute to Agriculture Banquet at USDA headquarters on Tuesday night. I'll share the stage with several people, and I'm particularly excited to share it with Emily Doherty of Whiteland Community High School in Greenland, Indiana.
She's the winner of the 2016 National Ag Day Essay Contest, and I'm going to use her words this week on Samuelson Says, entitled Agriculture, Stewards of a Healthy Planet. Emily writes, "Ever since I was young, my parents and grandparents have instilled in me a love of agriculture, an appreciation for the land, and respect for the generations of farmers before us. The same soil has continually been plowed and planted by my family for over 160 years. Every time I smell the sweet aroma of fresh-tilled soil, I quickly think of the history behind the humble soil. My great-great-great-grandpa cleared the forested land and hand-dug a ditch so that he could have fertile farm ground, and this land has provided for every generation of our family since 1853. Now, my brothers and I have the honor to become the next generation of our family to farm the land. Generations before us have been phenomenal stewards of the land, and now it's our turn to embrace technology to leave the land better than we received it. Awake before dawn and out past the sunset, farmers strive to be proper stewards of the land and to feed the growing world population. To feed this population, farmers have to continue to enhance sustainable practices to keep our earth healthy. Since 1982, stewardship has reduced wind and water erosion of cropland by 50%. Biotechnology has reduced runoff by 70%, and 41% of acres are farmed using conservation tillage." That's a part of Emily Dougherty's prize-winning National Ag Day Essay Contest. Happy National Agriculture Day. That's my thoughts on Samuelson Says.
And certainly Emily's thoughts, she expresses them very well, because the essay is longer than I had time to share with you this morning. But the Samuelson Says portion of the program, a presentation of Tribune Radio Networks. And a young lady making her first appearance with us to talk about markets coming up. So stay with us for Max's visit with the young lady when we continue here on the Saturday Morning Show.
Joining us this weekend in the studio, Monica Mooring from Allendale Incorporated, the Central Indiana office, correct?
Yes, it is. Noblesville, Indiana.
And you've worked with producers. You continue to work with growers from that office. How long have you been there?
I've been in this office for 11 years now.
That makes you a veteran of the industry. You've seen some peaks and troughs, haven't you?
Oh, most definitely.
What's the attitude from the growers that you're working with this winter? I've been out at meetings such as the Louisville Farm Show and the Commodity Classic a few days ago in New Orleans, and while there seems to be nervousness, I was a little bit surprised growers are still somewhat upbeat, more so than I expected, I guess.
Yes, I would say there's definitely some optimism out there. We've been in such a sideways trend for several months now that they're trying to figure out where could a rally come from? You know, what could make this market rally? So it's definitely a potential. And I think, like you said, there is some optimism out there.
Is there a danger in this sideways pattern, as long as we've been here, as you pointed out, of being a little bit asleep at the switch? When there is finally something happening, the grower needs to certainly be watching and be aware and ready to act, correct?
Right, exactly. Because we've been in that pattern for so long, people just kind of tune it out and maybe aren't paying quite as much as attention as normal. So we definitely have to have a plan in place and be ready to take action and, you know, be ready for that rally. Or if it does down, you know, make a downturn, be ready for that as well.
There was a grain stocks report this week, somewhat of a non-event, wasn't it?
Exactly. They didn't change much on that report at all. They increased the bean number, I think, by 10 million bushels, and they kept the corn and the wheat the same.
These were old crop numbers. This was expected carryout from the 2015 crop.
Correct, yes.
And they really didn't, as you point out, move those numbers around very much. When will we start to see the big players in the markets, the managed funds, looking toward the 2016 crop?
I don't think we're quite there yet. I think we need to get maybe towards the middle to latter part of March and maybe even into the first part of April before they really start focusing on some of that new crop stuff out there. And we really don't get any new crop numbers until the acreage report at the end of this month, and then the May report for the WASDE numbers then. So that's, you know, that's quite a ways away. So it may take, you know, maybe even another 30 days before they start to do that.
This time of the year, we've been watching, of course, what's happening in South America, and we haven't gotten any help from that part of the world, have we?
No, we have not. That's been they've got a great crop down there and great potential, so that's definitely not been friendly for our markets.
How far along are they in the progress on their harvest, do you know?
The last thing I heard was about 40%. That might have been a week ago or so maybe closer to 50% by now. Until we start to get our crop planted and see how that's going, we're definitely going to focus on the crop down there first.
Just to back up a little bit, because you do talk with growers quite a bit, have you heard much about this cash rental rate stress in the countryside? We know that there have been some who've said, hey, wait a minute, what we negotiated just isn't going to work here. What have you heard from producers?
I have heard that kind of sentiment because with the prices that we have now, it does make it difficult to make ends meet. The prices are much lower than they have been, you know, 3 to 5 years ago. So it's definitely tightening things up for the growers out there.
And that seems to be the one thing that they can maybe renegotiate that would really make a difference. I know the University of Illinois was saying cash rental rates needed to come down about $100 an acre. That's pretty substantial, isn't it?
That sounds like it, yes. But yeah, that could be one sticking point. I think they're looking at, you know, as many different points as they can to kind of, you know, cut some costs this year due to the prices out there.
Judging on your years of experience of watching planting seasons and how markets tend to react, what will it be that if that does develop that could really kind of spark interest in what's happening at planting time? Would it be prolonged rains, or do we, if a dryness scenario develops here? I mean, we've had a good shot of moisture this week. It's hard to get excited about rains hurting a crop, isn't it?
Yeah. As they say, rain makes grain, so it's definitely hard to build a bullish market off of a lot of rain. More so, it would have to be some heat and some dryness. So if we do see any sort of, you know, stretch a week or 2 weeks where it does remain dry, I think that could spark something.
Planting season rallies do come along. I guess that's one thing you might discuss with your customers, that, yeah, prices can climb in the spring sometimes.
Exactly. This the March-April time frame is seasonally more of a friendly time frame for the market. So that's definitely when we could see something start to happen.
From the standpoint of exports, it's been a little bit tough to get excited at times, and yet that Chinese demand for beans has been steady, has it not? They've continued to buy?
Yes, they have. They have. They've brought their purchases back up. I think we are ahead of pace now from the USDA, but corn exports are still lagging quite a bit, so that's a little bit concerning.
Lagging behind what the USDA had projected, you're saying?
Correct, yes.
What kind of advice, generally speaking, are you offering the growers these days when you talk with them over the phone? What have you been sharing with them?
Mostly, as we touched on a little bit ago, just be ready in case a rally happens. You know, have your orders in where you would like to put some hedges on and have a plan in place. And again, don't fall asleep at the wheel. You need to have that plan in place and know what your targets are, what would be profitable for you, what you would like to lock in, and have those orders ready. You know, because if you're busy out in the fields, you know, doing planting and getting stuff going, you're not going to be paying attention to that, and we don't want to miss some great opportunities for you.
Monica, do you sense that the growers have become a little more astute in their marketing? And we went through those years where marketing wasn't quite as essential because the prices were there, the cost of production were easily covered. Do you sense that the growers have gone back in now and said, hey, wait a minute, this really must merit our attention?
Yes, exactly. It's definitely become more important, as I've seen over my career. So people are definitely paying more attention to it. They're using all kinds of futures and options strategies to help them out and just, you know, pay more attention to it and be quite more involved.
Thanks for coming in from Allendale Incorporated. Monica Mooring, we appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I've had fun being here.
Well, we enjoyed having Monica with us as well, and look forward to more visits and more of her expertise in this very often confusing time of marketing and trying to hit the rallies and avoid the sell-offs and all that. It was an interesting week in commodities and Wall Street, because yesterday the S&P 500 and the Dow ended at their highest level this year, and that came yesterday at the close. But in agriculture, we saw soybeans closing at the highest price of 2016 to end the week, and live cattle futures also hit the highest price of the year 2016. We're going to talk a little bit about that cattle market after we take this time out here on the Saturday Morning Show. 5 minutes before 6 o'clock news time, Andy Grossetta, cow-calf rancher in Arizona, is a third generation, and the cow-calf business has been in the Grossetta family for 94 years. I first met him back in 2008 when he was president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, but he keeps a close watch on that beef market. And I talked to Andy about the volatility we have seen in the market for the past several months.
The last 2 years have been the best 2 years in my lifetime being in the cattle business as a cow-calf man, and it was almost too good to be true. It was incredible, and as my dad used to say, whatever goes up has got to come down sometime, and as we all know, we're in a cyclical business, supply and demand business, and you know, we've suffered a 30% hit in the cow-calf sector. You know, we were selling $1,600 calves, and those are $1,100 calves today. But, you know, looking back really over the last several decades, we're still blessed. You know, we got spoiled real easy. And the truth of the matter is it's still a great time to be in the cattle business. I have a lot of optimism. We have to, you know, when you're selling calves for $1,600 around, you get where you're just kind of going with the flow and you're not watching the bottom line like you should. And, you know, we've all, those of us been in business for several generations, we know how to take the leather punch and punch another hole in our belt and cinch it up. And so that's what we're doing now. But it's there's a lot of competition out there in our business, you know, the protein world. And in our country, we're flooded with a lot of beef, a lot of chicken, a lot of pork. And of those three, beef is the highest priced protein, and that's the issue. You know, we're getting pushback from the consumer. But, you know, as long as American cattlemen still produces the safest, most nutritious product in the world, I always think that there's always going to be a demand for our product. Sometimes it's a little softer than we would like, but I think that there's a bright future still in our business. The only thing I can say, and I do have some concerns, really have two concerns, is one, the pushback from the American consumer, high beef prices in the marketplace. You know, a lot of folks are paying, were paying $6 a pound for hamburger. That's a little rich for the American consumer. And the other thing that I'm concerned with is, you know, there's been a lot of equity taken out of the cattle feeding business. You know, losses anywhere from $300 to $500 a head this past year. 2014 was a banner year for the cattle feeders. 2015 we just went the other direction. But we had the cattle feeding industries experienced a $7 billion loss in 2015. That's taken a lot of oxygen out of the marketplace. And as a cow-calf man, we're hoping that there's still enough of those folks left that still want to buy our calves and our yearlings.
Final question. When you were president, you started several programs to encourage young people to come into the ranching industry. What do you tell a young man or woman coming into the industry at this point?
As I said earlier, I still think we have exciting times in the cattle business ahead of us. And I think there's a great future for young people in agriculture and especially in the ranching industry. None of us are getting any younger. I used to think of myself as a kid. I'm not a kid anymore. Most of the folks when you come to these conventions have either no hair or gray hair, and we need young people to get involved. So there is a great future. There's always going to be a need for people to produce the food and fiber in this country.
That's Andy Grossetta. His family has been in the cattle business 94 years. In Cottonwood, Arizona, which is about 15 miles away from the Red Rocks of Sedona. And Andy and his family have become good friends, and we spend time with them up there on their ranch in Cottonwood, Arizona. Well, we're heading for Washington, D.C., and Tuesday will be National Agriculture Day, when farmers and ranchers and food producers of the United States will be saluted by our nation's capital and the folks there, and a lot of other community salutes going on during National Agriculture Week. Reminder, Tonight, move your clock ahead 1 hour if you're in an area that goes to daylight saving time. So that's our time here on the Saturday Morning Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.
Orion Samuelson keeps you connected to the world of business and agriculture on WGN. Hear his reports weekday mornings on The Steve Cochran Show and during the noon hour on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Plus, catch Orion and Max on Saturday mornings at 5 a.m. only on Chicago's WGN Radio 720.